Jen Zamperali on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.
We have to talk about this because it's the end of an era. Excuse me. The fifth and final, I don't believe them, installment of the best-selling Aisling book series is actually out now. And I'm really happy to say that the co-authors of the series, Emer McLysett and Sarah Breen, are in studio. Hello, ladies.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.
Is it the end? Is it
straight
really
in there with
the end?
Like we've been planning for this to be the last book for a few years now. So, yeah.
Yeah.
It is, yeah.
Okay.
Sorry to say.
Like, we haven't completely, like, you know, taken the drawbridge up on Aisling. It's not like we're never going to go nearer again.
You need
but
a break.
For writing those books, you know, we've come to an end of that chapter
okay.
of our lives
and
for
Emer,
the moment.
What is it like to say goodbye to a character like that? I mean, were there tears? Did you have a moment, some kind of ceremony, Sarah? How did you approach it?
So the way we write is kind of frenetic. So we're very frantically writing, typing, like backspacing until the very end. So in the moment, I didn't really think about, oh, this is the end. It was only when we got our edits back and we got it like back printed. And then I read over it again that I felt very sad. I actually cried at the end when I reread it.
Mm-hmm.
But at the time, you know, there's so much going on.
You don't
give yourself a chance to feel it. But I felt very sad at the end.
For those who might not know her, can you just explain the character of Aisling? Where'd she come from? Is she based on anyone in particular? Tell us.
So we're always going, was it 2007, 2008, 2009? I actually was looking for something in my emails yesterday and I found an email from Sarah that said there were 189 people in the Aisling Facebook group. So, and it was from 2009. So it started then, 2009. Sarah and I came up with the character of Aisling. We used to live together because we'd been to college together. We were great pals. And we were just messing around and we just came up with this character that were kind of bits and pieces of people we already knew and bits of ourselves. So she's a very sensible, kind, gracious Irish girl. So we started our Aisling and it was like, who are the people who buy brown mascara? Who is not committing to a black lash? And this was the mid to late 2000s when everyone was having like black eyeliner and heavy eye makeup.
We used to wear so much eyeliner, we would have to blow dry our faces before we left the house.
And that was not an Aisling trait. So Aisling was the girl who was read once in a magazine that brown mascara makes blue eyes pop. And she has stuck to that ever since. And we just kind of went from there adding characteristics and she's grown to this very, very fully formed character with five books of life behind her. And, you know, the town she's from is Ballygobard and we learn all about the people in her life. And like, we love her and other people have grown to love her as well.
Oh, they certainly do. Sarah, it's been a few weeks now since the book came out. How are you feeling? The tears have stopped.
The tears have stopped.
Okay,
yeah,
good.
Stopped wailing. It's doing really well in the charts. I think it's number three in the original fiction charts at the moment. Yeah, and the feedback we've had has been so lovely because when you finish a series like that, you know, people were very invested in Aisling and her love life and her career.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we were very conscious that people had an idea of where they wanted Aisling to end up. But then, of course, me and Emer had our idea of where we wanted her to end
Although
up.
Although you always say that all I have to do is see one DM from someone going, this better not happen to Aisling in the next book. And I'm like, well, we have to change the whole thing.
Emer's on the phone to me going,
we can't upset that person.
There's a lot of pressure in that, you know. And I'm sure that pressure mounts as the books go on because people become, you know,
more invested.
So invested.
Yeah.
So invested. Do you feel that pressure as you're writing? Like, do you obviously consider all of this?
Yeah, it's a little scary. So that's why every decision that we make, we have to be really confident in
okay.
our decision.
Okay.
And, you know, we stick by what we did to Aisling at the end of the book.
Sounds like we killed her.
We didn't kill her off.
Okay.
No, that's a spoiler.
The writing process is quite a stressful. Well, I found it quite stressful many, many, many years ago when I wrote a comedy series. But for you guys, you have five books under your belt. What is that creative process like for you? Do you get into a room? Do you go through storylines? Do you go off and write? How does it all work for you two?
Yeah, like Sarah said, it is quite frantic. When we sat down to write the first book, we'd obviously never written a book before. We didn't know how to write a book. We genuinely Googled, how do you write a book?
Two people don't traditionally write novels. Like, people collaborate, say, on screenplays and stuff.
Yeah.
But for novels, it's not the
It's not
different.
That common. Or else, you don't know a second person has written a book with somebody, like there might be a ghostwriter or somebody in the background, but we were obviously doing it together. So we did sit down and said, how do you write a book? And then we were even saying stuff like first person narrative, what does that mean? And I remember opening a Marion Keyes book to see,
how do you write,
like,
a book?
Does she write it
how
from
do you write a good one?
Does she write it from the person's perspective? Yeah. And there's all these different choices yeah. you have to make. So when we sat down to write the first one, we had to make all of those choices. And then we ended up just working out this system where we decided what was going to happen in the first few chapters. We had a very thin idea of what was going to happen overall in the book. We flipped a coin to see who had to write the first chapter. The loser had to write it, and Sarah lost.
Loser here.
We've kept up that. I think you've lost more times than I have.
I know.
Think you've written maybe three opening chapters.
I'm on a bad streak.
You're on a bad streak, Sarah.
We just kept it going like that.
And there is like very fancy software you can buy to write a book, you know, Scrivener and all these types of things, but we just do it all on Google Docs, which is okay. Unsecure. We're available to be hacked at any moment. Everything is right there. And then, yeah, we meet once a week and figure out what's going to happen in the next few chapters, and then, you know, go back over the, you know, at the end of it, we've rewritten bits of both of our work. So it's very kind of seamless. Our editors could never tell who'd written what.
Okay.
People always say, oh, I feel like I can tell which chapters you wrote and which ones Sarah wrote. And I'm like, well, fair play, because I can't remember.
Okay. Well, that is a skill. Fair play. Have you been approached to take it to the small screen? Would you like to see that happen with Aisling?
Oh, we have. Uh-huh. when the first book came out and it became quite an unexpected success, it was a very exciting period for us because people kept asking us, oh, would you like to meet and maybe discuss taking Aisling to the screen, the stage, whatever. And every time we said, yes, we'll meet if we can have the meeting in the Westbury. Mm-hmm. So we had so many lovely coffees and biscottis in the Westbury.
We're like, the Westbury just really suits us location wise.
It's so
we'll
handy
be there.
So we were regulars in the Westbury for a while. So we actually went with Element Pictures and we started developing the first book for the big screen. So for a couple of years, we worked on a screenplay for a film. And then, I don't know, what was it, 2 years
ago? The pandemic happened and then Normal People happened and we pivoted to TV. Yeah,
very fast.
So Element Pictures made Normal People and that's who we work
yes.
with. And just, yeah, they just said, look, I think this would work better as a TV show because we were losing lots of the book because for like a rom-com type film, they like a tight 90 mm-hmm. and to get all of that into 90 minutes was proving quite difficult. So we've pivoted to TV and we're just still working on that.
Amazing. Yeah. That's so exciting.
It is exciting. So it looks like it's going to be 6 or 8 episodes and we're kind of rewriting the pilot.
Any tips on writing comedy for the screen?
Oh, just try not to kill each other. I mean, that's my top tip. When we were writing Bridget and Eamon, we rented, just to get in the mood for the 80s, the most horrific office in Dublin. It was so awful. It was like being stuck in the 80s. I thought, I'm really feeling the 80s vibe now. This will work for us quite nicely. So no Westbury for us. Plus, they wouldn't have us in there.
And Claire, how long did it take you?
Oh, because we did 4 of them.
Right.
So the first one is the hardest, isn't it? Because you have to figure out that world when you write your first book. It probably took us about to write an episode. It'd probably take us 3 weeks.
Okay.
Not 3 years like us, no.
No, we were on a schedule. Well, we did with RTE, so we had a deadline. But it was... It was an amazing process, but I'm not a natural writer. I don't enjoy the process. Mm. So I was working with people. Fortunately, one was a comedian, one was a writer. Mm-hmm. And I just learned so much from them. But we would come together, have our little ideas and then go off and write separately and then swap them over. And
mm-hmm. Yeah, we so kind of do stuff. We do it kind of similarly, but it's a different beast writing for the screen, definitely. And mm-hmm. people who do it really well, I'm like very much in awe of
them.
And then
you have to consider budgets.
Yeah.
No car chases in the Aisling book.
Yes, can we afford that car? Out of the whole series, what is your favourite? Do you have a favourite of the 5?
I'd say the most recent book, Aisling Ever After, is my favourite.
Available in all good bookshops now.
Yeah, coming up to Christmas.
No, I couldn't pick a favourite. They're all so different. It's like trying to pick a favourite child.
Okay.
I've always really enjoyed...
Oh, that didn't take you long.
I know, I was always a big fan of, I think it's the second book where we meet this character, James Matthews, because he was just such a... I say ride on morning.
Oh,
yeah,
listen,
he was such a ride.
Okay.
And he was just really fun to write. And
I can't wait to see him on the small screen.
So I've always enjoyed James.
Okay.
So I love that. I love all the books. And when I I find when you finish writing, you're like, oh, this is trash. This is the worst thing that's ever been produced. And then it goes out into the world and people are like, I loved it so much. And they say which bits they loved. And you're like, oh, okay.
That's funny.
Maybe it's not so bad.
Okay, well... Well done. Well done. Five books is just incredible. It is available in all good bookshops. And what a lovely Christmas present.
Yeah, or even all five.
And so I was going to say, get the whole series.
We did an event recently and a guy bought all five for his partner. And I was like, what a great present.
Yes. Listen up, men.
There we go. Sarah and Emer, thank you so much for popping in. You can get it in all good bookshops. Coming up to Christmas, go and check it out. Aisling Ever After is the final-ish book of the series. It is the final book. But you can go back and get them all. You may as well get the series. You can't just get one. It'd be ridiculous. Thanks for coming in, ladies.
Thank you.
Jen Zamparelli on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.